If you have your Bibles this morning, you can open them up to Acts 22. We took a little break last week from our series in Acts as we had a guest speaker last week. Last week, Pastor Heather Wright of Living Hope City Church, which is right downtown by the movie theater there, came and spoke for me kind of as I was recovering from camp. I was here, but kind of just lethargic, you know. And so she came and spoke for us, and she just shared a powerful word about the church and about God's desire for us to rethink what it really means to be the church and what the church looks like, to get beyond religion, to get beyond some of these things that we do just because we've always done them, and to truly seek encounters with Jesus that will change lives forever. And so it was a great word, and I would encourage you, if you didn't get to hear it last week, to go listen to it online. You can check it out there, because it's a great word. And today, in a sense, we're going to just kind of continue along that same line of teaching as we look at Paul and how he shared the gospel with others. Today is actually, so we started in January, and we've been like a year and a half kind of walking through Acts, but ultimately, you know, we took off, you know, I've had guest speakers here and there, and times where I took off for our Christmas series and things, but this is technically the 52nd message in Acts, okay? So this is officially one full year of teaching, okay? 52 weeks of teaching through Acts, so it's kind of cool we're at that. And if you remember a few weeks ago, we kind of left off with a cliffhanger, right? As Paul was about to address this crowd that had just tried to kill him. If you remember, the religious leaders had made these false accusations about him. And so it kind of got this crowd stirred up, and they grabbed him, began to beat him, right? And it literally said they were trying to kill him. And it wasn't until a Roman commander shows up that they stop. But then Paul asks to address the crowd. And just before he addresses, we stopped last week, right? And so we had that cliffhanger. And today we're going to pick up as we transition from chapter 21 to chapter 22. And we're actually going to hear what Paul has to say to this crowd. And so if you have your Bibles, you can follow along with me as we read Acts 22. We're going to read the whole thing, verses 1 through 30. This is what it says. Brothers and fathers, listen now to my defense. When they heard me speak to them in Aramaic, they became very quiet. Then Paul said, I am a Jew born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city. Paul studied under Gamaliel and was thoroughly trained in the law of our ancestors. I was just as jealous for God as any of you are today. I persecuted the followers of this way, which that was what the Christians were called, the way, to their death, arresting both men and women and throwing them into prison. As the high priest and all the council can themselves testify, I even obtained letters from them to their associates in Damascus and went there to bring these people as prisoners to Jerusalem to be punished. About noon, as I came near Damascus, suddenly a bright light from heaven flashed around me. I fell to the ground and heard a voice say to me, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? I asked. I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting, he replied. My companions saw the light, but they did not understand the voice of him who was speaking to me. What shall I do, Lord? I asked. Get up, the Lord said, and go into Damascus. There you will be told all that you have been assigned to do. My companions led me by the hand into Damascus, because the brilliance of the light had blinded me. A man named Ananias came to see me. He was a devout observer of the law and highly respected by all the Jews living there. He stood beside me and said, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that very moment I was able to see him. Then he said, The God of our ancestors has chosen you to know his will and to see the righteous one and to hear words from his mouth. You will be his witness to all people of what you have seen and heard. And now, what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on his name. When I returned to Jerusalem and was praying at the temple, I fell into a trance and saw the Lord speaking to me. Quick, he said, leave Jerusalem immediately because the people here will not accept your testimony about me. Lord, I replied, these people know that I went from one synagogue to another to imprison and beat those who believe in you. And when the blood of your martyr Stephen was shed, I stood there giving my approval and guarding the clothes of those who were killing him. Then the Lord said to me, go, I will send you far away to the Gentiles. The crowd listened to Paul until he said this. Then they raised their voices and shouted, rid the earth of him. He's not fit to live. As they were shouting and throwing off their cloaks and flinging dust into the air, the commander ordered that Paul be taken into the barracks. He directed that he be flogged and interrogated in order to find out why the people were shouting at him like this. As they stretched him out to flog him, Paul said to the centurion standing there, is it legal for you to flog a Roman citizen who hasn't even been found guilty? When the centurion heard this, he went to the commander and reported it. What are you going to do? He asked. This man is a Roman citizen. The commander went to Paul and asked, tell me, are you a Roman citizen? Yes, I am, he answered. Then the commander said, I had to pay a lot of money for my citizenship, but I was born a citizen, replied Paul. Those who were about to interrogate him withdrew immediately. The commander himself was alarmed when he realized that he had put Paul, a Roman citizen, in chains. The commander wanted to find out exactly why Paul was being accused by the Jews. So the next day he released him and ordered the chief priests and all the members of the Sanhedrin to assemble. Then he brought Paul and had him stand before them. Acts chapter 22. Today we're going to focus really on the first 21 verses that we read here in Acts 21. And it's in these verses that Paul is basically sharing his testimony. And we've heard him share it before numerous times. And as followers of Jesus, we have to understand the power of testimony, the power of our testimony. In Revelation 12:11, it tells us, they triumphed over him by what? The blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And then, or triumphed over him, it's referring to the devil there. And when all is said and done, we triumph over him, right? We are victorious over him. Number one, because of the blood of the Lamb, right? Because of what Jesus did, we have victory over the enemy. Because of him dying on the cross. But then two, by the word of our testimony. As we share what God has done in our lives, people hear the goodness of God, and more people come to know Him. And we're victorious because we see more people come into the kingdom. And so as Paul shares his testimony here in these scriptures, there are some things that I think we can learn that will help us in sharing ours, in sharing our testimony. And so when we break his testimony down, I really believe that there are three aspects of his testimony that I want to focus on. And so I want to take some time to talk about the three aspects of Paul's testimony. And the first aspect is this. He shares where he came from. When he starts his testimony, he shares his past. He shares where he came from. In verse 3 through 5, he says, I am a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city. I studied under Gamaliel and was thoroughly trained in the law of our ancestors. I was just as zealous for God as any of you are today. I persecuted the followers of this way to their death, arresting both men and women, throwing them in prison. As the high priest and all the council can themselves testify, I even obtained letters from them to associates in Damascus and went there to bring these people as prisoners to Jerusalem to be punished. He's sharing about where he came from. He's sharing about his past, who he was. You see, Paul is being persecuted here by these Jews in the same way that he once persecuted believers before he came to know Jesus. I think he's relating to them, right? He's relating his past to where they're at right now. He's relating to them and where they're coming from. like them, he was born a Jew. These were Jews, right? He was trained by the great rabbi of his day. Gamaliel was one of the great rabbis of his day. He was devoted to God and the law like these people were. He was the top persecutor of the early church, just like they're trying to persecute him now. I did that. I was there. I was the top persecutor. He had bound and delivered both men and women into prison and even killed some in the name of God. He tells them these things. He's relating to them. And he tells all of them in verse 6 that he was zealous for God like they were. I think Paul is doing his best to appeal to these people, to appeal to the crowd, to meet them where they're at. We've talked about this numerous times throughout Acts, meeting people where they're at. And I really think that the church over the years has done a huge disservice by not being honest and real about where we've come from. Because a lot of times, oftentimes, we act all holy, right? And pretend that we've always had it together, that we've lived this good life, and we're not real. And often it makes others feel guilty and ashamed of their past. There are people that don't want to come into the church because all they see people in the church are these holy people that have had it together all their life because we haven't been real about the fact that we've been in the same places that they've been. The reality is we all have a past. We're all sinners. Romans 3:23 reminds us of this, where it talks about that we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. I don't care if you were born in the church, raised in the church. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of the Lord. And when we're honest about where we've come from, it allows people to see us in a different light. When we're honest about the fact that even we've been raised in church, it's like my wife. Her whole life, I mean, she was a good girl. She listened to her parents. She obeyed, and she heard all her life, "You're a good girl. What a good girl." And it wasn't until after we got married and in her 20s where she realized, but I'm still a sinner that was saved by grace. I've been acting like I've been this great girl my whole life, but I still have stuff in my life that's not right. Yucky things that come out because I am a sinner that has been saved by grace, and we have to realize that. We have to be honest. And when we're honest, it allows people to see us in a different light. And it just might be the key to them listening to what we have to share. Right? Because who wants to listen to someone that has it all together? Oh, whatever. They don't understand. They don't know where I've come from. But when you say, hey, guess what? I've been there. I understand where you're at. It opens up their heart. It opens up their ears. Plus, when we remember where we came from, it helps relate to others that are still there. Sometimes we have trouble remembering the grace that has been poured out upon us. But when we remember where we've been, when we remember our past, it allows us to have grace to others who are still there where we once were. And it enables us to extend that grace. We can't forget where we've come from. The next aspect that we see from Paul's testimony is that he shares the change that took place in his life. He shares the change that took place. In verses 6 through 11, 6 through 13, Paul shares what happened to him that day when he encountered Jesus. He shares the whole story of the light and being knocked to the ground and what happened. The details and the experience of how his life was changed forever. If you were here last week, Pastor Heather was talking about this. The fact that lives were impacted and changed by these encounters with Jesus, not by religion, not by rules and regulations that these Jews who were trying to kill Paul were stuck on. It was because of real life encounters with Jesus, people experiencing Jesus and sharing that experience with others. When we share those stories with others, it inspires them. It encourages them. Wow, you were where I was at, but yet this happened and your life has changed. It inspires them. You see, it was evident that Paul's life was changed, right? He went from one who persecuted believers to one who came alongside them and partnered with them and supported them and was willing to die with them. And here's the thing, if we've encountered Jesus, if we've committed to following Him, then like Paul, our life should be different. A change should take place in our life. And here's the thing, that change and that difference should be evident to those around us. Paul was a different man, and when he shared the change that took place in his life, it was very evident. No one could argue differently. Wait a second. What? No, not you, Paul. No, they saw it in his life. He gave everything to this ministry. He gave everything to the gospel of Jesus Christ. People that know us should be able to see the change that's taken place in us. It's proof that we believe what we say. Now, here's the thing. It doesn't mean that we have to be perfect. It doesn't mean that, okay, now that you've given your life to the Lord, you've changed and now you're just this perfect person, right? I know you look up at me here and think, man, Darren, he's this perfect person, right? Yeah, ask my wife. She'll tell you. Doesn't mean that we have to be perfect. It just means that we're doing our best to live life differently. We're doing our best to live our life for the Lord because of the impact that He's had, because of the encounter that we've had with Him, because of the draw of Jesus in our life. Where did we come from? What did our life look like before we encountered Jesus? And how has that encounter changed who we are and how we live? Because it should. If we can share this freely with others as Paul did, if we can share of where we came from and how God's changed our life, it will open up the door for others to encounter Him as well. Now the third and final aspect we see here in Paul's testimony is this. He shares the calling he now has. In verse 15, he shares what he was told. You will be His, God's, witness to all people of what you have seen and heard. And then in verse 21, it says, then the Lord said to me, go, I will send you far away to the Gentiles. I'm going to use you to reach people that the Jews would never reach. God had a plan for Paul. Paul had a calling that the Lord had placed on his life. And it's this reminder that God doesn't just save us from something. You know, God saved us from sin and death, right? He saved us from something. But it's that reminder that He doesn't just save us from something. He also saves us for something. Because He wants to bring us into His kingdom so that we can do things for Him, that we can live that life that He's called us to live. Paul came from a life of religion, a life that was focused on rules and regulations. He came from a life that was persecuting and killing believers in the name of God, right? There's a lot of people out there that do things in the name of God, and it's not what they should be doing. It was a life that was contrary to the life of Jesus. But then Jesus meets him on the road to Damascus and his life is changed. But that's not the end of the story. You know, we could be like, oh, that's so cool. His life was changed. End of book. No. We would have finished with Acts a long time ago. No, that's not the end of the story. Then we begin to see how God uses Paul because He had a plan for his life to be His witness, to go and to help extend His kingdom as he shares his life and experience with others. And as we've been walking through Acts, we've seen the amazing ways that God has used Paul time and time again. And we're going to keep seeing them as we continue through Acts. He was one of the first missionaries sent out to share the gospel. He started numerous churches wherever he went. He saw many people come to know Jesus as he shared his testimony, as he shared the truth of Jesus Christ. And it's easy for us to say, well, yeah, that's Paul. You're talking about one of the greatest guys in the Bible. That's Paul. That's his calling. But the reality is, as we come to know Jesus, he has a calling for each of us. He has a calling on each of our lives. We weren't just saved from something. We were saved for something as well. And that calling, it's going to look different for each of us. Not everybody's called to stand up here and preach. Not everybody's called to lead worship. Not everybody's called to do children's ministry. Not everybody's called to do youth ministry. We're not all called to do the same things. Not everybody's called for a vocational job in ministry or church ministry. Like I talked about that life launch earlier, you know, that idea of learning how to live Christ in your workplace and whatever God's called you to do. That call is going to look different on each of our lives. But the key is that we're seeking God and seeking out what is it that He's called us to do? What is His desire for our life? Do we realize the fact that God wants to use us, that He does have a calling on our life? Some of us are like, man, I'm just lucky to be saved. Why would God ever want to use me? Have you seen where I came? Have you seen from what I did? Yeah. And that's why God wants to use you. He wants you to help other people that have been in that same place. And He wants to see His kingdom extended. Do we realize the fact that God has a call on our life? And are we seeking to know what that call is? Are we asking Him, Lord, how do You use me? How do You want to use me? What is it that You want to do in and through me? And then are we listening to the Lord? Are we listening? Because maybe God's been trying to tell us, but we're not opening our ears. Or maybe we've heard, but we're like, oh yeah, that's not for me, right? If we've heard, are we following Him? Are we being obedient and do what God desires us to do? Like Paul, we all have a past. Because many of us, we don't think God wants to use us because of our past. We believe that our past kind of destroys any opportunity of God using us. But Paul, he had a past. We've all messed up in one way or another, whether we want to admit it or not. We all have some sort of past. I know I have a past. The life I lived in the Marine Corps, it was messed up. It wasn't the life God wanted me to live, but God met me in a place late one night. Some of you have heard the story. A place that I never should have been. And God encountered me there. And that encounter, it changed my life forever. That encounter got me back on track and reminded me of the call I had on my life. I even told the pastor as I was with this encounter that I had, I told him, man, I've destroyed my chance of ever doing ministry. I've destroyed, you know, look at what I've done. I can't be a youth pastor now. And he said, man, that is a lie of the enemy. We serve a God of redemption who can redeem your past and use it for His glory. You know what I did? I did a breakout session last week at high school, middle school, high school, for high schoolers to talk about the struggles that I went through and what took me to that place in the Marine Corps. And I had 4 guys come forward for prayer. And it was a small group because I said, you know, the high schoolers and it was about some touchy subjects, you know, and I wanted people to be ready for what they were. And so we had a couple small groups, but I had 4 that came and asked me to pray and shared with me these struggles that they were going through, the same things that I went through in high school that took me to this place in the Marine Corps that I didn't ever want to go. And so God has redeemed my failures and has used it to help other young people not go down the road that I went down. And so God can use us in ways that we never realized that He could use us. That encounter, it changed my life. It reminded me of the call I had on my life. Where have we come from? Where have we come from? Do we remember? Or for maybe some of us, we're still there. And God's saying, I want to bring you out of that place. I want to bring you into a place where you encounter me and experience me and live the life that I have for you. Have we encountered Jesus? And I'm not talking about church and religion. I'm not talking about rules and regulations. I'm talking about a personal encounter with Jesus Christ, the God of this universe, the kind of encounter that changes lives. And if we have had that encounter, how has that encounter affected how we live? Do we know the calling that God has placed on our life? And if we know it, are we living it out? Paul is an amazing example of what God wants to do in every single one of us. God wants to move in each of our lives. He wants to pull us out of our broken, messed up, meaningless lives. He wants us to encounter Him in a way that changes our lives, not just in the moment, but changes our lives forever. And He wants us to use those situations and those moments to do the same for others as we share our testimony through the power of our testimony. Because we know from the Scriptures that there is power in testimony, and we need to make sure that we're sharing ours with others in the same way that Paul did to see His kingdom extended. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day, Lord. This is a day that You have made. And Lord, our heart and desire is to rejoice and be glad in it, Lord. And many of us can be glad because we know where we've came from, Lord. We know our past and how You've brought us out of that past and how You've changed our lives and You've made us new, Lord. And we want to do our best to live that life, Lord, that You've called us to live, to fulfill the calling that You have upon our life, to be Your witnesses, to go into the world, to go into our workplaces and our neighborhoods and to be that light that shines bright for You, Lord. And so Lord, may we live out our testimony daily. May it be a part of who we are, Lord. And may we look for those opportunities to share our testimony with others in the way that Paul continued to share his testimony of how You impacted his life, how You changed his life. Lord, may we look back and remember where we came from, remember how You changed us, and be willing to share that with others, Lord, as this calling that You've placed upon our life. We thank You for these things. And Lord, I want to pray for, if there's anyone in this room right now that is in that place, Lord, where maybe they're still in, it's not their past, it's their present right now. And Lord, You're calling them out of that into a new life with You. I just pray that, Lord, You would just work in and through their heart, Lord. Draw them into that relationship with You, that they would have a real life encounter with You, Lord, as You reach down and You touch them through the power of Your Holy Spirit, Lord. We don't want to scare people into saying yes to Jesus. We don't want to create these fake movements of Jesus, Lord. We want people to encounter You in a real way, whether that's through hearing testimony and things that inspire them and encourage them, or whether that's just the power of Your Holy Spirit reaching down and touching their life, Lord. We want to see You move. We want to see You empower us and enable us to be Your lights that shine bright in ways that draw people into Your presence, where they encounter God in a real way. And so, Lord, we thank You for these things. We thank You for this word. We thank You for the example of Paul. Lord, may we do our best to live the lives that You've called us to live, not having to be perfect, Lord, but just doing our best to honor You. And when we slip and fall, we get up and we keep moving forward. And so we thank You for these things. We just we give them to You. Be with us today as we walk out of this place, Lord. May we be lights that shine bright for You. May our lives be different, Lord. May we live differently, Lord. May we live in a way that draws others to You. We just thank You and we praise You for these things. We give them to You in Jesus' name. Amen.